My name is Pat Steinberg. He's Will Nault. We're underway on the program this afternoon and very happy to welcome in the general manager of the Calgary Flames, Brad Treliving, joins us on the program right now. Brad, first of all, Happy New Year. Appreciate you doing this. Thank you very much, as always.
Yeah, I hope everybody had a good Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody.
You are freshly back from the World Junior Hockey Championships, correct?
Yeah, I was over there and it was out for a little bit here doing some college stuff and some World Junior stuff, and so got back in this morning. So yeah, fresh off some of the interesting game there last night. Something I'd never seen before. So yeah, it was an interesting few days.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's the final day of 2018. Your team is essentially through halfway of their season. Tonight is game number 40, so not quite there, but essentially there. And your team will finish 2018 near top spot of the Pacific Division, potentially in top spot in the Pacific Division. So we thought it'd be a good day with the team going out on the road following tonight's game to bring you on and just take a look back at what we've seen to this point. How would you assess the first half or so of your team this season?
Well, I guess number one is certainly we'll take the position we're in. And knowing we've got lots of runway ahead of us here in this year. And it starts obviously tonight with a really good opponent. A real good team. But we'll take the spot we're in. I guess the thing that's really encouraging for me, guys, is, we've battled through a lot of different things. We've made some changes, trying to get everybody slotted in different certain roles. When you make as many changes as we have this year, we're like every other team. We've had injuries that we have dealt with and are dealing with. But I still think there's more. There's another level that we can get to. So, all things considered, we're in a decent spot. We know how tight, the standings are and how tight everything is and good teams and how well everybody, it seems, in our division is playing. So, like I said, there's lots of hockey left. But the spot we're in, I like that we're not maxed out. And so I still think when you look at, really break down our team collectively, individually, there's more to give. There's certainly been some really good individual performances. And for the most part, I think, really getting through that first part, the initial part of the season, we've been a fairly consistent team, which is something that, I think you need to be a good team. But we're not maxed out, and so that's certainly something as we get ready for the second half here that we need to max out, but there's still more in the tank here for us to give, and hopefully that's a good sign for the second half.
When you take a look at what you've seen to this point, what are the areas that you're pleased with, happy about, encouraged about with your group and the way they've played?
Well, number one, I think when we're playing the way we're capable of playing, it looks properly and it's sustainable. And what I mean by that is, I know we all, and as we should be, we get caught up in wins and losses, and at the end of the day, that's the name of the game. But your game's got to look a certain way. If you're just focused on, okay, we won tonight or we lost tonight, you got to dive deeper into it. You can win and still be concerned about how you're playing. But I think, when you look at our game right now, for the most part, we've shored things up defensively. Again, there's certainly some blips on the screen every now and again, but it's a sustainable game. For the most part, if you go back, 7, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, we're not giving up a ton. We're generating quite a bit. I like to play, there's been recently, especially in the power play, some lulls. I think our last game, at the end of the day, we get something on the power play, we come out of there with 2 points instead of one. But I like overall how consistent for a long stretch our special teams has played. And we're starting to get more contributions from, you know, our big boys have driven the bus here, which they need to do. And the league is, it's a star league. Your top guys have to be driving the bus. But, you know, I look at the Mark Jankowskis and some of the guys sort of underneath that group now that are starting to, to jump into the mix here. I like our defense. I think our defense is, we've integrated some young people, but I think it's a type and the style of defense, you know, and it's something we were adamant of trying to build here that you need to have to win in this game. And that you need to be mobile, you need to be able to move the puck, you need to, you know, have people that are going to jump in and be a second wave of offense to create offense in this league. You need your back end, not necessarily scoring every night, but you need them to be helping generate, and they need to be mobile, and they need to be able to move. And so, you know, I guess on the whole, those are the things that sort of stick out to me. I think we're, you know, as Mark Jankowski, he's an important player, because as he starts to continue to develop, you know, and you guys have heard me say this, I really do believe you build it right through the middle of the ice, and with him taking a big step, it really starts to solidify that center ice position when you can have Monahan, Backlund, Jankowski, Ryan, and, you know, everybody, there's more to give from everybody there, but as he starts to grow his game, I think it just helps our team become deeper in a position that I think is a real important position.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, because on the one hand, Brad, you talk about what you've gotten from your quote-unquote big boys. You got four players over 40 points right now, four players at a point-per-game pace. Like, you'll take that every day of the week. And on the other hand, you have to balance it with contributions further on down the lineup. It is a delicate balance you have to strike, right?
It is. And like I said earlier, you need your... You know, the guys at the front of the bus, they need to be driving. And there's very few games this year that our big guys haven't been. But to have success over an 82-game season, you do need full participation throughout your lineup. And everybody talks about depth scoring. And you know, it's necessarily not going to be there every night. But you need it to pick up the slack, and you need it to jump in. And that's sort of one area I think we've generated, you know, better, you know, coming into the year, as you guys know, one of the things we try to really accomplish is become a deeper group up front. I think we are, but we still need to have contributions. And, you know, that's still an area that we need to, like I said, on a regular basis, you know, get more and get sort of regular. It doesn't have to be the same guy every night, but you need that, you know, you need production throughout your lineup. And that's still something that, is a challenge for us. You see it throughout the league, but I'm encouraged on where things are trending. And, you know, that probably goes back a little bit to my initial comment that I still think there's more to give, right? If you look at some of the players, you know, further down the food chain, maybe, I think there's more to give there. But they've also jumped in certain ways, not necessarily on the score sheet. Like, we talked about Mark Jankowski and what he's done. You know, he's one thing that probably doesn't get talked about enough about him and Garnet Hathaway, the evolution into becoming really good penalty killers. You know, we've seen what Mark's done in terms of shorthanded offense. But, you know, him and Garnet have now, they've taken a big bite of the penalty kill. And you need that. You know, you need those people growing in certain roles. But certainly we're looking for, counting, and needing, you know, people down in our lower lines, if you will, to jump in offensively, and that's something that we're going to have here moving forward.
With Calgary Flames general manager Brad Treliving joining us on Pinder and Steinberg this afternoon, almost one half of the season in the books for the Flames. Well,
Brad, you talked about, you know, kind of your young defensemen and how impressive they have been so far, and you also talked about how your team wanted to be deeper up front, and you have been deeper up front. At least you did that in the off season. I know that, you know, injuries have played a role, and certainly you're probably confident in these guys when they were called upon, but Just how impressed are you with the job that Shillington and Anderson have done to become regulars at the NHL level? And really, to have a rookie pairing is rare. And at that, you know, same rate, I know Hanifin's got a lot of games under his belt, but you got three guys regular on your back end that are 22 or younger. That's not easy to go into the season with confidence, but they have done a terrific job. Can you just speak about the job they've done?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Will. And you can throw Valimaki in the mix there, too. Yeah. He was healthy. And we knew that coming in. Like, one of the things we talked a lot about over the summer is you know, we've you know, even going back to the trade we made with Carolina, you know, we spent a lot of time prior to that saying, okay, how does this, there's a lot of moving parts here before you get into the actual trade. And one of it was, okay, we're going to move TJ, you know, back to the right side. Why do we think that's going to work? Why did it work before? Why, you know, why has TJ had a dip the last couple of years? So you spend a lot of time sort of really digging into that. And then part of it was, okay, you know, I think Gio's having a terrific year, but, you know, the calendar each year and each month ticks on and he's getting older and we need to help him not only this year and in future years of building that left side to hopefully as each year goes by, be able to absorb some minutes with some younger guys developing. So, you know, we knew as we added Noah to the mix and then you look at a Schilling or a Valimaki and Schillington on the left side, I think we're well positioned. Now, coming into the season, I'd be lying to you guys if I thought, I thought Yuso was going to need at least till Christmas to in the minors. I really did. You know, I thought, really loved his year last year, big guy, but it's a big jump at that position for a 19, 20-year-old player. But we said to guys at camp, if you're ready to help us win here, I don't care how old you are, you know, we'll make room. And he did. He earned a spot. You know, we played the snot out of him in the preseason, and that's the gauge. We know it gets harder in the regular season, but he earned a spot here, so we made room for him. And unfortunately, he got an injury, and it opened the door for Oliver Shillington. And, you know, Oliver's a unique guy in that he's a young kid, you know, but he's had three full years in the American League, and he was fighting and biting and itching for an opportunity in the NHL. So, You never know until you put them in those positions. And now we know it's going to get heavier and deeper here. You know, once we get past the holidays, the games just amp up. You know, December is harder than November, and January is a different league than it was, you know, the first 3 months. So there's lots of tests ahead of us. But those young guys, I really felt Rasmus was ready to play. You know, he's had a couple years in the minors. He what he did fitness wise and getting himself to be in pro NHL shape, conditioning, that was sort of the last box for him. Now he needed to play. He needed to get games under his belt. But those other two guys, credit to them, and a big credit to the coaching staff. You know, sometimes it's sometimes when you roll out the depth chart and you've got 3 and 4, 21 and younger defensemen, the gray hairs start to sprout on the coach's head, but they've put them in, I think, positions to have success. They've, you know, when they've skinned their knee a little bit, they put them back out there. So I think Bill and Ryan, obviously, who works directly with our defense, have done a tremendous job. And I think the relationship with Ryan goes a long way. He's had these players for a while. There's a comfort level with Ryan. There's a comfort level between the player and the coach. Then you tip your hat to them. Like I said, lots of runway, lots of season, lots of challenges ahead of them, but I think they've all acquitted themselves very well.
And the glue is probably your captain. I know you talked about him in terms of getting older and stuff, but maybe a two-part question, Brad, and maybe you've talked about it in the past, I'm sure. But what were your impressions of Giordano while you were in Phoenix? I know that a lot of your focus was in the AHL, but I guess your impressions of him from afar and then now watching him every day and knowing that maybe he's playing the best hockey of his career at age 35.
Yeah, it's funny because I've joked with you like about that. When my impressions when I played were when I was in Phoenix, I hated playing against him. I thought he was just a real competitive guy and he was a real pain in the ass to play against, to be honest with you. And I remember talking to Shane Doan about that. He's like, this guy's a bit of a menace, you know, because he's always sort of – around you. He plays in every situation, and it's funny. You know, we talked about it's unique that ever since I got here, it just seems that every year he's gotten better. And you know, Mark is such a valuable guy. Not only, I mean, we all know what he does on the ice. Like, he's just, you know, he's first over the boards in every situation. But you know, we just finished talking about those young defensemen, and we're very lucky here. And it doesn't get talked to well enough, is you spend a lot of time with young players talking to them. It's an overused statement about how to be a pro, and you try to drill that home with them, and we've really expanded our development team here in my time here from the minute they're drafted, and one of our focal points is you know, how it looks and how you look and how you have to live to be an NHL player. Well, we're extremely lucky that a lot of it is we can just say, watch, just take a look at number five and just do what he does. You know, it's as simple as that, is, you know, everything from his preparation to, you know, when you're 34, 35 years old and you're, you know, running laps around 20-year-olds in terms of your conditioning, it's a wake-up call. And so he is such a influence on young guys. And if you talk to the Valimakis and the Andersons and the Shillingtons, their time up here, and if you go back even the last few years, and there's certain times, a year ago, 2 years ago, we brought Anderson up, and he didn't necessarily play every day, but we wanted him around Mark Giordano, to be perfectly honest with you, just to learn how you – there's a lot that goes into playing. And, you know, a lot of it happens before the game even starts. And to see how a top player – prepares, looks after himself, trains, and does all the things that you need to do to be successful in this league, it's invaluable. And, so you just touch wood that he keeps trucking along, because he certainly is the engine that drives it.
You know, you can't go very far this year, Brad, without talking about your goaltenders, but I wanted to ask you about Riddick, because we talked about this young defenseman, and you were saying how, you know, You thought Valimaki would need half a year in Stockton before coming up with this team. And, you know, Riddick certainly had his struggles in the preseason, so I don't know if anyone saw this type of first half coming, but he seems to pass every single test. What has impressed you the most about David Riddick this season?
Well, I've been a David Riddick fan for a while. I know a lot. You know, the question I got when we'd go places or talk to people in the summer was, okay, what are you going to do for a backup goalie this year? And you know, I understood that a little bit, in the sense that, you know, last year and you know, Mike was having a terrific year, he got hurt, and David and John were kind of, you know, unfortunately for them, put in a real tough spot, you know, where you're fighting for your playoff lives and young goalies. But if you just really step back and put any young player in any position, never mind the most important position, and go back in history here, you don't have to go back 20 years, go back in the last 3 or 4 years of some young goaltenders, that it's a hard position to play. And I thought David, taking the whole year into account, had a terrific year last year. You know, here's a guy who sort of came on the scene, you know, somewhat unheralded, was a free agent signing out of Europe, but never really played for his national team. Went down to Stockton for a couple of years and was one of the top goaltenders in the American League. And it was a difficult situation, as you're trying to develop sort of two goalies down there with John and him, and sort of sharing the workload. And, you know, he kept passing every test there. So, he's taken that natural step that you hope, and the development curve's never straight, and it's not without bumps along the way. But I think he's had a terrific year. I think outside of his, you know, he's got tremendous physical tools. He's quick, he's big, he's, you know, extremely athletic. But that position, guys, is so much mental. He's got a great mental approach and experience. Is a great equalizer, and it's often talked about. It's difficult to get, and sometimes you have to go through it, and it's not fun getting experience. And mm-hmm. you know, one of the ones we've talked about a couple of years ago, there was all sorts of questions in Winnipeg about Connor Hellebuck and, you know, could he carry the load? And Steve Mason was brought in, and, you know, what happens is that goaltender, I think he was in Las Vegas for an award last year. So, you know, the same thing with David. He, you know, he went through some great learning experiences last year, and I said it in the summer, we really feel, both him and John, the experience they got last year, as difficult as it is going through it, we thought both us and them were going to be the benefactors of it. And he's got a great mental approach. He's learned to be consistent in his approach every day, win, lose, or draw, come with the same regular routine. And you know, he's a great kid. He's got a great personality. You guys are around him every day. And he loves to compete. So those are, you know, he's got a lot in his toolbox, and he's certainly, both him and Mike. And, you know, I look at our goaltending, to me, it's, you know, it's been a real positive how David has played this year, and it's given us now two goalies that I think give us a chance to win every time they're in net.
Brad Treliving's with us, the general manager of the Flames. Two more before we let you roll. Just one's a quick one, so this is kind of the last big question, I guess. And that would just be, you know, you see where your team is, and you talk about how you still believe there's more to come from your group. Knowing where you sit right now, knowing what you might have the opportunity to accomplish, and knowing the cap situation that you sit in right now, would this be maybe the first year in your tenure as GM of this team that the cards might be favorable for you to go and look at a rental prior to the trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, those are all things you're always, as you've heard me say before, Pat, you take your cues from your team. The one thing that we try to impress here is, you know, let's just be in the moment. You know, we're not getting too far ahead of ourselves here. We've put ourselves in whatever game we are. I think we're in the 40s now. We've put ourselves in a decent position, but unless they change the schedule on us, I think we got to go to 80-something before it's all said and done. So we've got a long way to go.
82, I think.
82 is what they're still doing, 82?
Yeah.
Well, I know we play San Jose tonight. I think it's Detroit. But after that, I don't know when we play. So I just sort of look at it in small bites here. So let's not get ahead of ourselves and start worrying about what's going to happen in a month or 2 months. You know, we've got a massive test here tonight. So let's just stay in the moment. And to me, the rest of those things, they tend to take care of themselves. You know, as we progress down the season, we'll see, you know, we're looking at all sorts of things all the time of how we can help our team for today and for further out down the road than today. So, but I'm not making any proclamations about, you know, what we may or may not do. It's because, you know, at the end of the day, guys, I'm a firm believer you build your team in the summer. That's when you really build your team. Yeah, hey, do you tweak it? You're always looking to tweak it. You're always trying to make your team better. But a lot of the heavy lifting is done in the summer, and for teams that have success, usually it's internal growth. You know, very seldom in season do you go out and find the golden, you know, the golden ticket that comes in and changes things. So for us, it's getting back to my initial comment, is continuing to grow what we have, getting more from the people that we have here. And, you know, if an opportunity presents itself, not unlike any other time, to help us help the team, then we certainly would be open to that. But, you know, the lion's share of our growth is going to come in the second half from the group that we have here. And when I say the group here, it's the whole organization. We've had lots of contributions. You know, we talk about depth. One of the things that I don't think we probably recognize as much is, you know, we always see the 23 guys in Calgary, but it's been a 4 or 5 year process to build the depth in Stockton too. So I think we've had 7 or 8 guys that have come up this year. There's others that are pushing for opportunities. There's guys that have been up and down and that are, to me, are ready almost to be full-time guys. So, you know, we've got opportunities here for others to grab a hold of something. And usually I prefer that you try to find solutions internally before you go external. So we'll see how things play out, but we're just going to stay in the moment and worry about the next game at hand.
Final thought, any updates, Michael Stone, Yusuf Alamaki, on the injury status for your two guys who are out right now?
Nothing really update, Pat, other than, you know, not not close. And we probably haven't done as great a job keeping everybody up to speed in that. We all know about Michael. Michael has a, you know, was diagnosed with a blood clot. And really, I mean, it's a very serious issue. The good news is things are progressing. Right there with those, it's just, it's time, right? You in essence, the clot's got to dissolve itself. And so you got to be careful of that, and it just will take its time. And the one thing with Michael is he's staying very active. He's been skating for several weeks now on his own, working out with our strength and conditioning folks. And so Mike's in great shape. You got to let this sort of run its course, basically. So, you know, we sort of get every couple of weeks get a little update with him, and I'm hesitant to put time frames on it. We'll probably have a better as we get into the, you know, third week, maybe the end of January, a little bit better sense of where that's at. And then with Yuso, Yuso's been dealing with a high ankle sprain, which is it's not a good injury, and it was a significant sprain, high ankle. So he's going to need some time yet. You know, he's progressing and doing all of his rehab, but I would say, you know, we're probably looking probably around the same time, you know, as we get later in January. And yeah, you're always hoping that things move a little quicker, but I'm probably thinking the third week of January for now of just seeing where he's at. You know, I'd be shocked if there's any much, you know, happening before that, but you know, you keep your fingers crossed that things progress on both of them, but they're certainly, you know, they've been out a while and they're certainly, you know, going to be out a while longer yet.
Appreciate the time, as always, Brad. Thank you so much for doing this. Happy New Year from our group to you, and good luck throughout the rest of the season. Really appreciate this today.
Yeah, always appreciate the support, guys, and the jobs that you do, and wish everybody at the station and all the listeners a very happy New Year. Be safe, enjoy it, and hope it's a healthy, happy, and successful 2019 for everybody. So thanks very much.
Thanks so much, Brad.
Bye now.
Brad Treliving, Flames General Manager.